It's not thick.
That's what's up.
I need some buffalo tallow on these, you know, wrinkles. Just on a, you know, side note, I bought some buffalo tallow at the yoga retreat, and I needed some, so I've been using it on my wrinkles, girl.
Well, I grew up in, like, farming areas, so I use utter cream on my...
Oh, my God. I forgot about utter cream. We used to have it a lot. Oh, my God. I haven't heard that in years.
Farmers know.
Stop. My grandma had that all the time. Big old jars with the cow on it. I love that. So you got to go back to the basics, man, because all these...
Grandma knew.
hyaluronic acids, but yeah.
Uh-huh.
Simple stuff like bear grease, bacon grease.
Yep, exactly. That's if it works for animals, and yeah, it's probably safe for us too.
For real. For real. Oh my gosh, we have two more minutes, but do you have any closing
song? I don't know about a song.
Okay, good.
I just want to say thank you for Miigwech, Wado, Pidamayaye, Shishi, Gracias,
Pinigigi,
Tan, Tanka. This platform is so important. And as a kid, I was so in tune to the radio that... pretty consistently before I turned it on, I could start singing the song that was going to be on. And it has been a dream of mine to be in a radio studio. So this is a dream come true for me, and I really appreciate it. And I don't know exactly how I will pay it forward, but I promise you that I will.
For sure. With people like me and you, like, we understand the how energy works. So making sure that the energy kind of, you know, goes out into the universe is one of those things, because it's just universal to know those things. So I know for sure you'll do that, because it's just one of those things. We have to make the universe better and make it unfold the beautiful way that we have and we help it along, you know?
And manifest, yes.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being on my show. This has been a long time coming.
Oh, thank you,
Dan. I'm trying to be more, like, consistent with, like, really good guests, and sometimes I, like, don't make it, and then I'll have to come in here and talk by myself. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. Have a great holiday weekend.
Love you.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI-FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, online and archived at kfai.org, the community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio. We are with our friend Arvina Martin, and we're getting an opportunity right now to see her new apartment. And if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook or Blue Sky, there we go. Hey, I just have a quick off-the-subject question that I probably should be asking you off the air, but what's a good time to go to the powwow? Because I know I've gone there in the morning, and then it's like, oh, okay, cool. And then I head back to the cities, and then I look, and the nighttime's rocking. Now I've gone to the nighttime too, and the mornings rock. And so am I confused, or what's the best time for me, Robert Pilot, to drive out to Black River Falls this weekend?
You know, I think you got to stay all day, you know. I always have the same dilemma, whether I'm dancing or not. You know, I like to be there for grand entry because I really love our Memorial and Labor Day powwows in Black River out at the powwow grounds, you know, out by past Mission. And, you know, I think that, like, when the weather holds up, there's really nothing better than, you know, grand entry at noon or 1 o'clock in the sunshine. But, you know, I often feel like the daytime sessions are for more of a public eye, you know, and because we get so many more non-native folks that come for the daytime sessions. And then when we have our evening sessions, you know, that tends to be more, you know, a lot fewer, or yeah, how did I mention that? A lot fewer non-tribal members that are there. And so, you know, it's a lot more of the other, you know, the longer dances we do. You know, I feel like in our evening sessions, there's always either a greencorn dance or a snake dance, which is always fun. I like to trick my fitness app on my watch, and it'll say, I think it looks like you're running. And then I get a nice little map of me going around the arena, and it's actually kind of funny when we do the snake dance because you can see the little, like, slithering, and you know, the part where we stop and we're all, you know, all coiled up and hibernating, and it just amuses me to see that little map. But you know, I guess I feel like there's a lot more visiting and more kind of in group things that are happening in the evening sessions than happen during the day, which seems to be more of an outward facing kind of event.
Yeah, I always try to get out there, and especially at the same time, there's a big AA convention in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. There's 10,000 recovering alcoholics show up, and so I try to figure out if I go in the morning, then I go to this, or go in the afternoon and go to this. And then to compound that, it's my 65th birthday on Saturday, so I'll be heading towards Elite Elder someday.
Elite Elder, that's a very special status.
Yes, it is. Well, you know, one of the things that really wanted to talk to you about, too, is, you know, the shooting in San Diego is really, I don't know, it's so much like, here we go again. And of course, it's a hate crime, and they're saying it's a hate crime. And it could be downgraded if that's the case, but they said it's starting out as one, and there's young teenagers, and they met online, and here we are again. And I just feel like there's so much negativity coming from the top down and making people feel that it's okay to do these things. And it's really sad because I mean, you're a lot younger than I am, but when you were young, you never heard of any of this stuff.
Yeah, you know, decorum used to be a big deal. Think about the hissy fit that the right threw because Obama dared to wear a tan suit. We've clearly passed that. And you know, I have seen, I saw a meme going around here regarding a Democratic candidate for governor, Francesca Hong, who's a state representative from here in Madison. And she had gone to a gathering, and it was outside. And I believe that there was some kind of volunteer work kind of aspect. And she was dressed as someone who is going to an event outdoors and, you know, not in a suit. And they juxtapose that image with a picture of Tom Tiffany wearing a, I will say, mismatched suit with a bolo tie, which I kind of reserve for tribal chairs to wear, in my own personal opinion. But, you know, comparing the two, saying, oh, well, she's not dressed for the role. Like, are we really doing this now? Like, is that a hill anybody's willing to die on when we have a president that has been convicted of felonies, who, you know, is trying to give money to people that he pardoned after January 7th, you know, people he actually incited violence or that he incited to violence, rather, and to overthrow a fair election. And I think that it is his model that he has set for being threatening, for threatening to, you know, have his bodyguards beat up people at his events who may not agree with him. That obviously is trickling down, and others are seeing it acceptable. And I think that, you know, the conversations that we had over the past couple of weeks too, in that, you know, we have so many boys and young men that don't know what to do right now. They see their world, their role in the world changing. They have been socialized to only, you know, display anger when it comes to being emotional, but not other emotions. And it expresses itself as violence against people that they perceive to be different, whether it is, you know, a woman, whether it is, a Muslim person or a Jewish person, and anybody that's different then becomes subject to that violence. And I think that it's kind, you know, it's been triggered by, or happens more often, not just because of the example set in the office of the president, not the Ho Chung Nation office of president, of course, but the U.S. President. You know, that is the example that he's setting, and we don't have any, you know, or at least we don't have many emotionally intelligent examples for young men to follow, and they fall into this manosphere, and it often, you know, it doesn't always, but it often leads to violence, and I think that we're seeing that. And you know, these young men or these boys that are you know, the perpetrators of this attack, you know, I think we'll find out a lot more of how they became radicalized. I today watched part of the press conference that the San Diego, I don't know if it was the sheriff's department, but their law enforcement had in response to this shooting. And they wanted to emphasize, therefore I want to emphasize, the actions of the three men that were killed likely saved the lives of 140 children that were present. Wow. When this violence occurred, and they said that not a single child was physically harmed. Now, wow. Of course, there's likely to be lots of, you know, very, very deep emotional trauma that these children and the adults that are part of this community are going to be facing. But, you know, I think that we should, you know, honor the three men that died, because their actions saved the lives of 144 children. This could have been far more, you know, have a much worse loss of life. And those individuals were very brave and acted selflessly to protect the children of their community.
Wow, great points as always. And you know, we can blame a lot of things, and we blame from the top down. But as we're talking, and I'm thinking, it's just like I really have to give mainstream media a big, you know, check mark on this too. I really feel like they've normalized a lot of really bad things over the last year, and it's just, thank goodness that you and I can talk, and you were on civic media all over Wisconsin and also here on AM 950 in the Twin Cities, and that we can still talk about this in a way that really expresses how we feel. You know, there's, you know, and I appreciate you too, Arvina. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Arvina Martin. And this time, Arvina, I want to ask you what you want to talk about. So get ready. You got a couple minutes here in between commercials, and we're going to let it rip. And you always come up with some great things. So I'm glad to throw the show to you again. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come. We are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio. We are with our friend Arvina Martin, and we're getting an opportunity right now to see her new apartment. And if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook or Blue Sky, there we go. Hey, I just have a quick off-the-subject question that I probably should be asking you off the air, but what's a good time to go to the powwow? Because I know I've gone there in the morning, and then it's like, oh, okay, cool, and then I head back to the cities, and then I look, and the nighttime's rocking. Now, I've gone to the nighttime, too, and the morning's rocking. So am I confused, or what's the best time for me, Robert Pilot, to drive out to Black River Falls this weekend?
You know, I think you got to stay all day, you know. I always have the same dilemma, whether I'm dancing or not. You know, I like to be there for grand entry because I really love our Memorial and Labor Day powwows in Black River out at the powwow grounds, you know, out by past Mission. And, you know, I think that, like, when the weather holds up, there's really nothing better than, you know, grand entry at noon or 1 o'clock in the sunshine. But, you know, I often feel like the daytime sessions are for more of a public eye, you know, and because we get so many more non-native folks that come for the daytime sessions. And then when we have our evening sessions, you know, that tends to be more, you know, a lot fewer, or yeah, how did I mention that? A lot fewer non-tribal members that are there. And so, you know, it's a lot more of the other, you know, the longer dances we do. You know, I feel like in our evening sessions, there's always either a greencorn dance or a snake dance, which is always fun. I like to trick my fitness app on my watch, and it'll say, I think it looks like you're running. And then I get a nice little map of me going around the arena, and it's actually kind of funny when we do the snake dance because you can see the little, like, slithering, and, you know, the part where we stop and we're all, you know, all coiled up and hibernating, and it just amuses me to see to see that little map. But, you know, I guess I feel like there's a lot more visiting and more kind of in-group things that are happening in the evening sessions than happen during the day, which seems to be a more for like a more of an outward facing kind of event.
Yeah, I always try to get out there, and especially at the same time, there's a big AA convention in Minnesota. There's 10,000 recovering alcoholics show up. And so I try to figure out if I go in the morning, then I go to this, or go in the afternoon and go to this. And then to compound that, it's my 65th birthday on Saturday. So I'll I'll be heading towards Elite Elder someday.
Elite Elder. That's a very special status.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, you know, one of the things that really wanted to talk to you about too is, you know, the shooting in San Diego is really, I don't know, it's so much like here we go again. And of course it's a hate crime, and they're saying it's a hate crime, and it could be downgraded if that's the case. But they said it's starting out as one, and there's young teenagers, and they met online, and here we are again. And I just feel like there's so much negativity coming from the top down and making people feel that it's okay to do these things, and it's really sad because I mean, you're a lot younger than I am, but when you were young, you never heard of any of this stuff.
Yeah, you know, decorum used to be a big deal. Think about the hissy fit that the right threw because Obama dared to wear a tan suit.
Oh my
you know,
God,
like we've clearly like past that. And you know, I have seen, I saw a meme going around here regarding a Democratic candidate for governor, Francesca Hong, who is a state representative from here in Madison. And she had gone to like a gathering, and it was outside. And I believe that there was some kind of like volunteer work kind of aspect. And she was dressed as someone who is going to an event outdoors and, you know, not in a suit. And they juxtaposed that image with a picture of Tom Tiffany wearing a, I will say, mismatched suit with a bolo tie, which I kind of reserve for tribal chairs to wear, in my own personal opinion. But you know, comparing the two, saying, oh, well, she's not dressed for the role. Like, are we really doing this now? Like, is that a hill anybody's willing to die on when we have a president that has been convicted of felonies, who, you know, is trying to give money to people that he pardoned after January 7th, you know, people he actually incited violence or that he incited to violence, rather, and to overthrow a fair election. And I think that it is his model that he has set for being threatening, for threatening to, you know, have his bodyguards beat up people at his events who may not agree with him. That obviously is trickling down, and others are seeing it acceptable. And I think that, you know, the conversations that we had over the past couple of weeks too, in that, you know, we have so many boys and young men that don't know what to do right now. They see their world, their role in the world changing. They have been socialized to only, you know, display anger when it comes to being emotional, but not other emotions. And it expresses itself as violence against people that they perceive to be different, whether it is, you know, a woman, whether it is, a Muslim person or a Jewish person, and anybody that's different then becomes subject to that violence. And I think that it's kind, you know, it's been triggered by or happens more often, not just because of the example set in the office of the president, not the Ho Chung Nation office of president, of course, but the U.S. President. That is the example that he's setting, and we don't have any, you know, or at least we don't have many emotionally intelligent examples for young men to follow, and they fall into this manosphere, and it often, you know, it doesn't always, but it often leads to violence, and I think that we're seeing that. And you know, these young men or these boys that are you know, the perpetrators of this attack, you know, I think we'll find out a lot more of how they became radicalized. And I today watched part of the press conference that the San Diego, I don't know if it was the sheriff's department, but their law enforcement had in response mm-hmm. to this shooting. And they wanted to emphasize, therefore, I want to emphasize the actions of the three men that were killed likely saved the lives of 140 children that were present. Wow. When this violence occurred, and they said that not a single child was physically harmed. Now, wow. Of course, there's likely to be lots of, you know, very, very deep emotional trauma that these children and the adults that are part of this community are going to be facing. But, you know, I think that we should, you know, honor the three men that died, because their actions saved the lives of 144 children. This could have been far more, you know, have a much worse loss of life. And those individuals were very brave and acted selflessly to protect the children of their community.
Wow. Great points, as always. And you know, we can blame a lot of things, and we blame from the top down. But as we're talking, and I'm thinking, it's just like I really have to give mainstream media a big, you know, check mark on this too. I really feel like they've normalized a lot of really bad things over the last year, and it's just, thank goodness that you and I can talk, and you were on civic media all over Wisconsin, and also here on AM 950 in the Twin Cities, and that we can still talk about this in a way that really expresses how we feel. You know, there's, you know, and I appreciate you too, Arvina. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Arvina Martin. And this time, Arvina, I want to ask you what you want to talk about. So get ready. You got a couple minutes here in between commercials, and we're going to let her rip. And you always come up with some great things. So I'm glad to throw the show to you again. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. If you are hearing this message, you are most likely in a vehicle. And if you're not wearing a seatbelt, that could be tragic news. Buckle your seatbelt. It's the law.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade. Hey, welcome back, everyone. I am Distant Thunder. That's my my native name, my Ho-Chunk name, Wakunjahade, and we are here with Arvina Martin, another Ho-Chunk relative, and really enjoy our time speaking about what's going on all over Turtle Island. I gave you an opportunity, and I want to see where you're going to go with this, but what would you like to talk about?
Before I get into that, I didn't have their names pulled up, but I wanted to share the names of the men who were killed because of and their bravery that prevented so much more loss of life. Security guard. I'm sorry. I had to scroll back to find my find the names, but the security guard, Amin Abdullah, who was the first person to engage with the shooters, he was able to start lockdown proceedings, which bought folks time to shelter in safe places and the opportunity to hide and to distract the shooters so they weren't able to go as far. As well, Mansur Kaziha and Nadir Awad, who are both community members members of that particular mosque, they both were ones that managed to help with the response and again protect the lives of these kids. So I think it's important that we remember their names as heroes in this event, who gave their lives. So Amin Abdullah, Mansur Kaziha, and Nadir Awad. We should remember them as heroes, the heroes that they were. And I am also glad that the media is and law enforcement are not bringing up the names of the shooters. So yeah. Let's think about those men who were heroes and saved the lives of all these children and other community members, and not focus on notoriety for the ones who carried out such a horrendous attack. So I wanted to say that, but yeah, my go-to is always, what are we going to do? How are we going to get involved as Native people, as citizens of our own states, of our communities as well? What are we going to do to change what's happening? And it can seem so overwhelming. And we talk about this so much, but we have to keep talking about it, thinking about ways that we can engage in helping our communities, whether that is helping folks with mutual aid. Lots of people are losing their jobs or health insurance or access to various services that they need. Maybe they need money. Maybe you can host a mutual aid donation request. Mm-hmm. Help somebody from your community that is struggling. Maybe that means canvassing, for a candidate that you believe in, that you think can help change how we operate. We have so many elected leaders now that are simply abdicating their responsibilities to push back on the president. They're completely ignoring that part of their job. They're acquiescing and they're basically saying, yep, we're good with what he does, or it's more important that we don't upset him than it is for us to make a positive difference to our constituents' lives. And because of that, we are all experiencing gas that is like around $4.50 a gallon. We are all struggling with high housing prices. We are struggling with food prices. And potential job loss with the advances that AI is making, and things are going to continue to be tough if we continue along this trajectory. And we all need to be doing something to help change that trajectory. And they can be small, like your efforts can be small, you know, checking in on neighbors, making sure that you know, your elderly relatives are healthy and are being treated appropriately by folks that care for them. And I, you know, of course, I'm going to advocate for getting involved politically. And you know, asking candidates questions, holding their feet to the fire, and contacting your electeds when they do something that you support or they do something that you are against. You know, let them know what you think, because you are one of the bosses, you know, and you're sometimes it feels like you're shouting into the void, but you know, please know that electeds do look at what their constituents say, and some are better than others when it comes to listening to them. But you know, applying pressure where you are able to, and you know, if you have extra, being able to share it. You know, none of us get anywhere by ourselves, and we need to remember that we are in this together and we need to support each other, and the help that you give now, you know, may inspire others and may put folks in a position that they're able to help you when you need it. You know, so, you know, that has to be our contingency plan is our communities, our friends and our families.
Excellent. What you brought up there, that is definitely, you know, all small things, helping people, giving that little inch more. And talking about, you know, maybe helping people get out and vote. You know, I'm wearing a Make Voting a Tradition shirt right now, and it's huge because the Native vote has been really big across Minnesota and other places across the country.
Yeah, you know, we have about 20,000 adult voting age Native adults here in Wisconsin, and we've had multiple elections, statewide elections, over the past several cycles that have been close, and that our impact can absolutely make a difference. You know, and when we get out and we vote, we show those elected leaders that we are to be taken seriously, and they have to listen to our concerns, and because we will vote if they ignore us or if they work against our interests, you know, and our interests as Native peoples are not just our individual interests. They are our community's interests. They are the interests of our Mother Earth, and you know, we need to do right by her and be protecting the resources that we have, especially for those of us here in Wisconsin and Minnesota. We've got our Great Lakes to protect, yes. and that, you know, especially as AI develops and places need water, they're going to come to the Great Lakes, and we need to make sure that water is available for the health of the people, not for machinery.
Yeah, absolutely. And that reminds me too, what's happening in Utah is gross, if nothing else, when we talk about these data centers and the complicity of a government, and the small towns can make deals with these data centers and not really tell them until things are happening. And we're here as Native Americans to protect our resources, our water, our, you know, Mother Sky, Mother Earth, and Father Sky.
Absolutely, and we need to be aware of what the impacts, not just on the environment, these data centers are. They tell us that there are going to be all of these local jobs available to construct these data centers, when really they don't use a lot of local labor. So, you know, you're destroying your local resources, and you're not even getting an employment out of it, you know. And so we need to look at these programs, these proposals that seem too good to be true, they usually are too good to be true. And we need to shed light and keep talking about it.
Yeah, I'm glad you have. And it reminds me, too, when they were having Line 3 go up and through northern Minnesota and the beginning of the Mississippi up at Lake Itasca, that all these jobs would happen. And basically, they were contract jobs. There were no union jobs that were given to the community. And also, they were really low paying. And we had people from all over the country with the coming in and putting in these pipelines. So it's great to remind people of that too, what you were just saying, Arvina.
Yeah, and that, you know, as AI grows, that's going to take a lot of especially entry level jobs, you know, for that people use mm-hmm. or at least now currently have. And you know, we've talked about how the landscape is different, whether it is environmental impacts and weather, how that's more extreme, how we have the public reacting because the president sets this very extreme example as well. Well, I think we're going to be getting very quickly into a new world where entire sectors of jobs are going to be rendered obsolete because of AI. And what are mm-hmm. we going to do for those people that are losing their employment long term? What are we going to do? How are we going to get entry level jobs for college students or for people that go to technical schools? You know, where are these jobs? What are these folks going to do now for employment? Because you know, these companies that are investing so much in AI, you know, they're going to use them and they're going to lay off their staff. You know, that's just how it's going to be. And we need to be prepared.
Yeah, especially with everything's run by the stock market. And, you know, they're not going to quit their job. They're going to fire the starting workers. Arvina, we got less than a minute here. I'd love for you to let people know how they can engage with you and how they can get a hold of you and how you can help organizations out there and people running for office.
Yeah, if you want to get engaged, if you want to work with Native communities, if you are a candidate, or you're thinking about, you know, encouraging Native people to run for office, I do lots of political trainings, and I would be happy to work with you. You can find me on LinkedIn. My name is Arvina Martin, and I'm the only Arvina Martin at the moment on LinkedIn. So send me a message, and let's talk.
Oh, big Peenigi, thank you so much, Arvina, for your insights and coming in here and talking to our audience. Really, really appreciate it. And I know our listening audience does, too.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, I look forward to our conversations every week.
Right on. Hey, up next, Wendy Pilot with our sacred animal portion. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh,
it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Oh. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years and also is a co-founder of Native Roots Radio. And we started 10 years ago. I just wanted to remind everyone of that. We were getting up early and going to the studio and doing this one-hour show, and it's just expanded in a good way. And I'm really always happy to have you on, Wen, because people always, when I'm in community, thanks, ask for you.
I appreciate that. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Excuse me. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. So I'm going to give you some bad news first, and then we'll go to the heartwarming news.
Oh, good, good.
So
good.
Bad news first, and I'm so glad that you guys are talking about AI and what's happening, because the Trump administration has quietly lifted bans on cyanide bombs when killing wildlife. And you're going to ask me what one has to do with the other, and I'm going to tell you. Specifically, wildlife on public lands. According to the New York Times, the Trump administration quietly lifted this ban over the last couple of weeks, and we're talking about M44 cyanide bombs. So how these bombs work, according to Humane World for Animals, they're ultra deadly cylinder trap, and it uses a scented bait to attract and entice its victim to bite or tug at its head.
Oh my
and
God.
Once it's triggered, yeah, exactly. Once it's triggered, the cyanide bomb shoots a pellet of sodium cyanide into the animal's mouth, causing pain, distress, suffering, injury, and ultimately death. But it's not just these cyanide bombs. They also could injure humans, right? Pets and more, including endangered species. So what does that have to do with AI? Get this. Trump lifted the cyanide ban. They're going to start bombing wildlife with the cyanide to get them off the land so that they could build the data centers.
Oh my
okay?
God.
So they're going to kill our wilderness to power the machines that are killing our jobs, what you guys were just talking about. So this just happened. And he did it really quietly, and nobody really knows about it. But the Midas Touch, who we follow, Aaron Parsons, he's a great journalist. He's an independent journalist, and he finds these little nitty-gritty things, right, that nobody knows about, no one's talking about, mainstream media is not talking about, and he brings it forth. So if you want to follow Aaron Parsons, he's really awesome. And I think he really does a good job of being, you know, telling these crazy stories.
Well, that's what's happening, Wen, is that we have things like, you know, he's giving, you know, $1 billion to people that, you know, basically are convicts or convicted of crime. To
January 6th insurrectionists, $1.7 billion. Yes, he set aside
But he'll do something big like that, and we're all whirling on that, but then he sneaks in things that you just talked about.
Exactly, exactly. So here's a little story. You might want to grab a tissue. It's very heartwarming.
Don't do this to me.
I know. So this was
posted. I just took a shower.
This is reposted from the Wisconsin Humane Society, and it was posted by Jill Marie. And she's talking about the Wrigley Beagles, but one of our final beagles, this is her talking, one of our final beagles arrived as Alicia, a sweet senior with some concerning findings on her medical exam. Our vets discovered two large mammary tumors, and x-rays revealed the cancer appeared to have spread to her lungs. Despite her prognosis, Alicia appeared comfortable and is not yet showing any signs of her end-stage prognosis. Knowing her time on Earth is likely quite limited, talking about the Humane Society in Wisconsin, we made her available for adoption in hopes to finding a hospice placement where she could know she can go and she could find love and comfort for the remainder of how long her life will be. We made it clear that Alicia may only have a few months to live, and we needed this person, whoever adopted her, to establish a care plan with a veterinarian, you know, right away. And this, hopefully this gentle girl would go to, you know, be so grateful and have a chance to live out her life. I mean, she's been in a cage her whole life pumping out puppies, and that's why she has mammary cancer. That very same day, in walked Joanne. Undeterred by the unknowns ahead, she opted to meet Alicia and see if they had a connection. Alicia walked right up and climbed into Joanne's lap, and it was immediately clear these two would be providing unconditional love to each other for as long as Alicia had left. Contrary to sadness you might expect upon seeing a pup in Alicia's state, Joanne was full of joy meeting her new best friend. And just when our hearts were so full they could burst, Joanne went to pay her adoption fee and was informed that one of our staff members had quietly paid it for herself, right? Mm-hmm. In memory of her own pup who just recently passed away. So how sweet is that? Mm. Wednesday was the first time Alicia had ever been free from Rigland Farms, and by Friday afternoon, she had the most incredible home she could ever hope for. Joanne already scheduled Alicia's vet appointment and promised to share updates with our team on their journey together for however long or short it may be. We truly can't thank her enough and couldn't be happier for sweet Alicia. At a time when things can feel heavy, right? Don't forget that there are Joannes in the world making it so much brighter. And again, that was reposted from the Wisconsin Humane Society. And I also want to say, and you know, even though things are so hard in the world, there are people there who will sneak and pay the adoption fee for her also. So I hope that Alicia at least has some, I mean, she's going to have a great home. I mean, Joanne is going to take such good care of her for however time she has left. And even if it's a few months, at least she'll be filled, you know, her last, she's not going to die in a cage, right? She's not going to die at Rigland Farm. She's going to be in the comfort of a home where somebody's going to love her to death. So I'm just so happy about that. So,
yeah.
So we got bad news and we got sad news and we got comforting news and we got a little bit of everything. But
you read that really at a good pace. Now we still have like 2 minutes left in the show.
You know what? I always feel like I'm going to run out of time. Like I have so much to say. Maybe I shouldn't even introduce myself. I have a couple of things here.
How about an update on our Wanda? You know, how is she doing? Did she have a good walk?
So Wanda and I just got back from a walk. We're only walking like, you know, 2 blocks around the block. Depending, this weather really in the 50s is like perfect for her. No humidity. It's really cool. Wanda, for those of you who don't know, she was diagnosed a few months back with a collapsing trachea, and it's supposedly very common in small dogs like her. Wanda is a Shih Tzu, and it's progressive, so it gets worse over time. So she went in for a checkup, and the vet discovered that her just felt like her heart's not really beating the way it really should be. And I don't think it's a heart murmur, but there's something going on. Let me take a X-ray. And they did, and they discovered she has an enlarged heart now. So, so she's on lots of medications. And we're just keeping, again, you know, keeping her as comfortable and as happy as possible for as long as, you know, she has left. She is an older dog. We're not really sure how old she is. But, you know, we love her to death. And I try to get her out every day. And as long as she wants to walk, I'll walk.
And
so,
she loves that
and
chicken.
She really, yeah. So she has still stuff to look forward to. So.
Yeah, that's good and a good story. You're a good puppy mom. Hey, we'll see you all tomorrow. I want to thank Arvina Martin for stopping in, as always, and Wendy for your updates. They're so valuable. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. If you are hearing this message, you are most likely in a vehicle. And if you're not wearing a seatbelt, that could be tragic news. Buckle your seatbelt. It's the law.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Hey, welcome. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio, and we are talking about this really great event with Derek, and I think we lost Jamie forever, and he must be in a tunnel or something. We've lost him totally, but Derek, you're a veteran of radio here, so we can finish up this last 10 minutes together.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Like
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a real elder there talking.
Yeah, now that we're back, I'll introduce myself a little bit. Jawanung Benesi Indigo, Mushkazi Bing Nindun Jabai, Dashke Kabikong Indam Nungom, Mayingan Nindo Dame. Ow, I heard that howl. I have to give a nice little howl out to my wolf clan brethren. So, yeah, it's a beautiful day out there.
It's
and
your birthday.
Good day to be on the radio. Yeah, you are correct. Yep.
39 years ago, old again.
Yeah. It's been this coming winter, Anishinaabe, we count them in winters. So coming winter, I will have lived 52 of them. So that's a lot of winters, Robert.
Another 3 years, and you'll be able to get a senior discount at Goodwill.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, you got like 13 years to catch up to me, and I gotta keep in shape, or you young whippersnappers will catch up.
Well, we don't feel as young as we once did, but we're gonna try to keep up with you, Robert.
So, hey, let's talk about again the event, and maybe talk about. So, well, let me ask you this before we get back into the event. And again, happy birthday! That's awesome. And whenever a Native American is past 50, it's a miracle. And I just want to say a good one on you and what you do to be healthy. So it's a huge thing.
Oh, miigwech firstly for that. Good shout out. And yeah, I do tell people, you know, as the years keep coming, you know, as Native men, I speak for the men because I'm a man. I relate there much more. You know, our numbers are dwindling, Robert, and that's mm-hmm. that's just the science of it. So it is really good to walk down the block today. And it's beautiful and it's sunny. And I'm walking up the powwow grounds on Franklin Avenue. We just came from the American Indian Center. And lo and behold, here's Robert Pilot. And, you know, it's nice to see you out there. It's nice to be seen out there.
Yeah. And you and your wife, and your wife wanted to make sure that I mentioned your birthday again. And that's that's a good wife to know how important that is for our fragile egos, that we want to be, you know, shouted out.
Yeah. She definitely makes sure that I'm well taken care of. She takes really good care of me. You know, she makes me push harder to stick around and eat a little better and move a little more and do the things that will not ensure longevity, but you know, when we talk about those numbers, we want to make sure our numbers are the best we can be, because I heard your commercial before we came back from the break, and it spoke of Native men in the community, and me being a Native man in the community, it's just such a beautiful thing. And I look around and I'm always looking for my brothers. I'm always looking for you. We want you. We love you. We need you out there.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Those are always good words, as you always bring to the show. Let's talk about the event again, because we can't talk enough about it. And I want to just bring it up again. And I'm going to pop up the screen so I can read along. Ooh.
Yeah, we got Turtle Island Voices Rising. Hip-hop, R&B, spoken word showcase. You'll hear some poetry, some really powerful poetry from Isabella Lopez. We got Day Days coming down from Mille Lacs. Of course, downtown Jada Brown, sensational singer, songwriter, rapper, amazing performer. Thomas X is coming down from Red Lake. You got myself and Teklu. I go under the name Mishomis, and what that means in Anishinaabe is I'm literally called that. My grandchildren call me that. That's Grandpa. And that's the alias I go under when my rap name or whatever you want to call it, AKA. So, yeah, Mishomis and Teklu will open up the show. We're going to do it the best way we can. And one thing you can bet on when you get natives in music, in any art, but music and hip hop, because we're on that subject, you're going to get a lot of heart. And when you talk about that niday, my heart, you're going to get a lot of heart in that music, and you'll be able to hear that. You'll be able to feel that. It's much like a tea. Or a really good soup that grandma made. And we use a word. Now, when we got water, we all know that as nibe in Anishinaabe. But something.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please. Oh.